Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
So I would tell you, if you can't get John Kincaid on your radio, you should probably move to the town wherever he's broadcasting. He's that good of a sports talk radio host. He's truly one of the best in the business. He's been a friend of mine for as long as I've been in the business. A lot of late night calls and a little advice one way or the other. He is one of the best, and I appreciate him coming on today because, let me tell you, he's from Philly. He's Philly down to his socks. Temple boy, won't hold that against him, did 25 years in Atlanta where he dominated like the worst sports town in the world. He was the best sports talk host for the worst sports town. You can go home again. He is back in Philadelphia doing mornings on 97.5 The Fanatic, and he joins us here on Damon Ratto and Kolsky. Kincaid, what's going on, brother?
Boys, I can only tell you that the one bad punchline to that entire story was that I somehow signed a contract to do mornings. After doing afternoons my whole life, to do mornings is a culture shock, a life-changing decision, but it's been a hell of a lot of fun being home. When's
the last time you saw anything past 8:30 p.m.?
Oh, no. I'm like probably lights out 10:15.
Oh,
10:30.
Look
yeah,
at you.
I can do all right. And I right now I'm in an apartment close to my radio station because I'm having a house built. So until I move into the house, I have a short little commute. So I can, you know, pretty much roll out of bed. And I can't go to sleep without knowing exactly what the show sheet's going to look like for the next morning. So I pretty much can go to bed, put my head in the pillow, and know what I'm going to talk about. So I'm all ready for that.
It's why you're one of the best, man. So who is the city of Philadelphia glommed onto more early in careers with early impressions? Jalen Hurts or Sirianni?
Nick Sirianni. Nick Sirianni started out with one of the most bumbling press conferences I've ever seen. Just it was on Zoom. It was awkward. He was overhyped up for it. It went terribly. And there were so many people that had doubts, and I had doubts about it. I was like, man, this guy's got a very much that high school Harry type of approach. But then you got to watch him work, and we've gotten to know him and gotten to look at how he handles himself. And this city has sort of fallen in love with Nick Sirianni because Nick Sirianni, he sounds like somebody who'd be from Philly. He is very all about the football. He knows how to relate to the city as far as he just talks to us. He's much better behind a microphone than Doug Peterson ever was. And this city loves Doug for what he did, but I don't think that they ever had that connection that he was a guy who really could articulate his vision. This guy articulates the plan and the vision really, really well.
Okay, well, let me ask the thinly veiled sarcastic question is, if they love Sirianni, do they trust him yet?
Oh, no. No, the big key is that they love the guy because he's been very honest about wanting to build a foundation and that they're sort of doing a reset and starting from scratch with learning everything from the basics to... So everybody went into this season with no expectations. I mean, for this city, I was shocked that so many in the city were like, if they win 6 or 7 games, I'm cool. As long as the young players look like they're advancing. We see Sanders, we see Goddard, we see Mailata, we see Jalen Hurts, we see those players looking like they're developing. I can't believe it, because I stepped back into this town. I said, this town's never patient. And they very much, overwhelmingly, there was nobody calling into our show that was saying, like, oh, yeah, this team's going to be 10 wins. This team's making the playoffs. Everybody knew what to expect coming into this year. Problem is, they go and dominate Atlanta. And if they somehow come out with a win over Kyle Shanahan on Sunday and the 49ers, this city will go berserk. And all that summer talk will be out the window.
Having watched him for a handful of games now, do you believe Jalen Hurts is a long-term starting quarterback in this league?
I can't. I mean, I honestly, I'm not ready. I'm one of the few people in the town who doesn't want to make a rubber stamp decision on that, because so many things about Jalen I really like. First of all, from being in the South for so long and getting to watch Nick Saban and his program, getting to see games that, you know, Saban coaches, being at many of his games, I knew they were getting a guy that would be that got doctorate level training when he was in college, and then he got his sort of graduate year when he went to Oklahoma. And then they go out and they draft Landon Dickerson, who's going to be ready to play on the offensive line, and maybe even as soon as Sunday. And then they go and get Devontae Smith. It's been a distinct plan here in Philly to go get Alabama guys, to go get guys who understand how to be professional, how to be how to handle the moment, aren't going to get swallowed up by this stage, because we saw it with Carson Wentz. He got swallowed up by the city. He got swallowed up by intimidation. And the day that Jalen Hurts was drafted, Carson Wentz went into a shell. And I think he went from North Dakota State to one of the biggest hotbeds of NFL football that you could be in. And when he wasn't getting constant love and affection, he couldn't handle it. And that's not your – Jalen Hurts won't be phased. He's been in 90,000-seat stadium in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, where he couldn't even go – he couldn't even go to the convenience store without being, you know, mobbed. So he was more ready for this stage, I believe. I believe in Jalen. I need to see a hell of a lot more, a hell of a lot more. I mean, I need at least another 10, 12 starts till I think I can make the real decision, thumbs up, thumbs down. Because I thought Wentz was – a long-term solution in the NFL that was going to really do great things. And one mental fragility took him right out. So I can't make that call yet.
Would you buy any Wentz stock in Indianapolis, where he's much further off the intensity radar?
Is it dirt cheap? You telling me it's like a, you telling me it's like a penny stock? You know, I'd consider it. You know, like I we love Carson Wentz in this town for what he did to, you know, get 11 wins, the 11 on his jersey. He got 11 of those wins that got them the home field advantage, which allowed Nick Foles to then, you know, take them to the Super Bowl championship. But I think he's a mentally fragile guy. And I mean, I know that he's a mentally fragile guy. I know that he's not. He wasn't cut out for this. He wasn't. The minute that they drafted Jalen Hurts, he crumbled.
Yeah.
He looked at it as a slight. He looked at it as, they don't love me. And it's very strange. But he also, though, was not a locker room. This wasn't a guy who was leading the franchise, who was a guy that the veteran players are mobbing around Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts was working out in Lane Johnson's private garage gym during the offseason, bonding with his teammates, bonding with the offensive linemen. Wentz never did that. Wentz had more of an aloof quality to him, a lot of talent. But just, I don't think he was made. I think going from North Dakota State to Philadelphia was a little bit too much.
John Kincaid here on 95.7 The Game. Sports talk host out of Philadelphia, one of the best to ever do it. So, looking at the Niners coming into the year, the soft spot was that secondary. And they've already lost Jason Verrett. Their other starting corner, Mosley, right now probably is not. Doesn't look like he's tracking to play in week two either. So, when I look at the Eagles, the one thing that they got that the Lions certainly didn't have was speed and talent on the outside. I think that Devontae Smith and Jalen Reagor, if Hurts is looking to hit shot plays and hits like two or three of them, that could be the difference in this game.
Yeah, I think it could too. I think it's a distinct advantage in Atlanta, the Atlanta game last week. You know, the entire offense, the average pass attempt was 7 yards, so it was all short stuff. I don't expect that this week. And with San Francisco, I just wonder if he's going to get the time. And the offensive line had a very, very good game after the first quarter, and they are a very good veteran unit. if the offensive line can come through and give him some time, I think they're going to be throwing it down the field. And I think you're going to be seeing Dallas Goedert down the seam. I think you're going to be seeing Zach Ertz more involved than he was last week. And I do believe that they're going to be trying Devontae Smith, the speedster, get him out there. The kid is so impressive. Oh, my gosh. He's so exciting to watch. And I do believe it's going to take an entirely different offensive game plan to beat the 49ers. Plus, too, I want to see a turnover or two. Because the 49ers just, I have no idea. Kyle must be, and I hope Kyle's not listening. Him and I didn't really get along. The 49ers being sloppy with the football. Last year, I think 31st in turnovers, in offensive turnovers. This year, three fumbles in the first game. That's got to be driving Kyle crazy. It's got to be just making him go nuts. Because I know what kind of an emphasis he puts on, precision and doing things the right way. So it's got to be killing him. And if the Eagles can take advantage of that, I think it'll help big time. And that defensive front is a lot different than playing Detroit.
Yeah, so on that topic, last week that defense bludgeoned a Falcons team that you're somewhat familiar with. Is
sure.
that more Eagles defense being frightening or more Falcons offense being frightening for bad reasons?
It was the Falcons are going to be a 3-4 win team. So take that for what it is, and I believe that going in. They turned over half the roster of a 4-win team. So if you turn over half the roster of a 4-win team, I'm pretty much expecting you're not improving that much. And Arthur Smith looked absolutely like a buffoon last week, and I couldn't believe it. But the Eagles defense was turned it on and were menacing, and the rotation was great, and they were getting a lot of guys in. They were keeping guys fresh. The snap counts were amazingly balanced. I was very, very impressed. Jonathan Gannon, the young kid, the defensive coordinator, he's been my boy crush since they brought in this coaching staff. I've been obsessed with everything about Gannon, reading about philosophy, hearing him talk. He's won me over. And in fact, I've given him much more of my stamp of approval and confidence than I even have Nick Sirianni. I love what he did last week. He allowed two long drives to start the game, but when they got to the red zone defense was spectacular. It was creative too, and they really got aggressive instead of being passive. And for the rest of the game, they never laid off till the last series of the game. They did not lay off. It was aggressive, aggressive, aggressive. And after Jim Schwartz, who, if you were up by two touchdowns in the fourth quarter, Jim Schwartz was playing prevent and was playing soft. And the Philadelphia fans this week loved that the best. They loved the aggression, the four-quarter aggression. And I want to see more of that on Sunday because, look, I'm not fooling anybody. The San Francisco 49ers bear no resemblance to the Atlanta Falcons. None. Even beaten up, the 49ers are a distinctly better club than the Falcons by a mile. So they're going to have to play their A game.
I want to divert from football for a moment.
Sure.
And ask you a two-pronged question. One, is Philadelphia as sick of the concept of Ben Simmons as Ben Simmons is of Philadelphia? And two, can a shotgun marriage in which he has to stay there work for either side?
I don't think the shotgun marriage works, so I'll do number two first. Even though I want Daryl Morey to do exactly that. Clutch Sports I keep hearing how Clutch Sports holds all the cards. They would if you weren't trying to trade a 78 Toyota, because a point guard that refuses to shoot, that doesn't have the guts to shoot, that was petrified to shoot in the last four fourth quarters of a seven-game series that you lost in seven games, is ridiculous. He's talking about mentally fragile, Ben Simmons. But where the difference is that Philadelphia universally supported this guy. He got standing ovations every playoff game. He got standing ovations when he went to the foul line, the crowd standing, cheering him. He never got booed in this town. He hasn't gotten booed once, ever. This town supported Ben Simmons blindly, wanting to get the best out of him. They wanted him to succeed, and he just doesn't have the succeed gene. He'd rather be, posting on Instagram how great his life is, and he's not worried. He lost the seventh game, but look at my Bentley. Look at my house in L.A. Look at my Instagram girlfriend. Look, I'm at Wimbledon. He's like a teenage girl on Instagram. And I don't think he's got the killer instinct. And my buddy Shaq and Charles Barkley have been burying him. And I'm glad they've been burying him because it's deserved. I think that Daryl Morey and the Sixers, though, at least from what I'm hearing, are just saying, we'll wait for the deal we want. I think they want to wait till in season to make a deal till somebody either needs him or you get towards the trade deadline and they can do like a Harden type deal. But I don't believe they want to kowtow to what Clutch Sports wants to do.
I mean, they basically asked for everything but the Golden Gate Bridge from the Golden State Warriors for Ben Simmons.
I guarantee you they did. And the Warriors are a dumb organization. And so, I mean, I don't know. I got to tell you this. I know that Steve Kerr could look at the skill set of Ben Simmons and say, Ben Simmons is the best guy in the NBA to getting three-point shooters the ball. He led the NBA in it this year in Philadelphia. Imagine if he had the Warriors outside game. Ben Simmons would fit perfectly. But I don't know if he fits the culture. He's not a winner. He doesn't have a winner's mentality. He doesn't have a cutthroat mentality.
He can't be on the floor if you need a free throw. I mean, it's just that simple.
And that's what it is. And so to me, I don't know. If you're just talking about the Warriors, I respect the hell out of what they've accomplished as an organization. I can't believe they would ever want to bring that into their locker room. Because, yes, there's a skill set that he brings, and he's a tremendous defensive player. But he, honestly, he's another one, mentally fragile. And Shaq and Charles have gone on the offensive with it, and I like it. I may have begged Shaq to do it a little bit. But it's like, hey, you know, like let's bring this to the truth. This guy, I think he would drag the Warriors down, not lift them up.
John Kincaid here with us on 95.7 The Game. And look, sports talk radio hosts are like, you know, the weatherman or the weather girl. We can tell you it's going to rain, it's sunny, and we still get to come to work the next day. We're wrong about a lot of things. And my friend, you might have been wrong about Gabe Kapler. Are you going to send him a muffin basket or at least a bouquet saying, so sorry?
No, I'm going to send him a little quarter ice cream. He can put it in his mouth. He can suck on it and then spit it out because that's what Gabe does. Here's what I would say with Gabe Kapler. And I'll say it flat out. Gabe Kapler sucked here. And Gabe Kapler's doing a great job there. Both sentences are true. Gabe Kapler was comedic here. He didn't know how to manage a game. Even into his second season, he was bumbling as far as how to handle a bullpen, how to have guys warmed up properly. His high school Harry routine with all his little catchphrases and everything like that. I'm going to warn you guys. I think that he's having a great year this year, and he should be and get all the credit in the world for it. But Jim Fregosi had great year. Yeah, like there are guys who have great years, and God rest the soul, Jim Fregosi. But there are many managers who put together that year, and it happens, and it's unexpected, and then it's never sustainable. I think that Gabe Kapler also is better after crapping out in his first job. Bill Belichick, better after crapping out in his first job. Nobody in Cleveland saying, man, the Browns blew it. They had Bill Belichick. He was doing a great job. He was just better. No, he blew it. He was terrible in Cleveland. And he made a lot of mistakes, and he reformed them. Terry Francona, I've gotten the chance many times to talk to Terry when I was with ESPN. And I would say to Terry, you know, I'd make a joke on the air. I'd say, you know, I booed you a few times and just want to know. And he said, I would have booed me too. And Terry Francona talks about it. He was a better manager in Boston than he was in Philly. And so I think both sentences are true. I don't dislike the man, Gabe Kapler. I mean, I think he is a good person that I'm glad to see find some success. Because anybody I think that fails, that dusts themselves off, and becomes a better version of what they are, damn, I think that's something you cheer for. And I think he fits San Fran as a market better than he fits Philly. I mean, like we're not used to our managers getting their eyebrows waxed and fake baking. That's just not big here. That doesn't go over well here. That's just not it. They want their guy to smash a beer can on his head. You know, and go eat a cheesesteak and be one of the, like, go down and high-five the construction workers. That's sort of what they look for here. And whether that's pandering to the fan base or not, that's sort of what they look for.
Right. No, I've always said Chip Kelly's biggest flaw in Philadelphia was when he brought up like nutrition shakes. It was over right there.
As soon as
he wanted to have the smoothies, it was over.
Well, it was also over when he alienated everybody in that building. He alienated the whole organization. Even the PR people couldn't stand dealing with him. And one of the things you got to do is, you know, and many times my radio agent told me many, many times, Norm Schrutt, the radio rabbi, you can Google him, he's a legend, passed away this past year. Norm flat out would say, don't be the squeaky wheel, especially in an industry like radio, in an industry like coaching. Don't be the guy that the owner has to be putting out fires for one of their highest paid employees. Go to work, do your job, and do it well. And so Chip Kelly was a grease fire. And by the way, that wasn't Gabe Kapler either. Gabe Kapler was not a bad guy. Like nobody disliked Gabe, you know. And so that's why I think a lot of people are happy here. Believe me, I get people who still say, "Oh, he's doing a great job." I say, "Yeah, he is. He's doing a great job this year." It doesn't mean he did a great job here. And the Phillies are just so abysmal to watch, but they could still make the postseason, which is just absolutely shocking.
It's nuts. Harper, maybe an MVP? Maybe? I don't know.
I don't know how he wouldn't be in top of mind for the discussion. But
it's Emmer Tatis. That's it. That's a conversation.
If the Phillies win that division or even make the postseason, I think Bryce Harper's MVP.
I tell you what, man, I think you got a future in radio. You should look into it. Thank you so much.
I may. I don't know. Does it pay well?
No,
I've seen with your beautiful children, and I mean it's the lavish lifestyle you live. If I could aspire to that, I think I'd take some of it.
Hey, you're the
building
one
a house. Cut the crap.
You're building a house.
Yeah. Guess what? Building a house in Philly compared to building a house in Atlanta. In Atlanta, you get twice the house at half the taxes, and I'm not kidding. Twice the square footage and half the taxes. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, try coming
back
to San Francisco.
It's crazy.
Yeah, here's how you build a house in San Francisco. You don't.
You don't.
Thank you, John.
Guys, you're awesome, and continued success. And maybe the Phillies and the Giants will meet in the postseason, and you guys will really be laughing.
Good to
There's
talk to you.
Matchup you want. Take
There's
care,
the
guys.
Guy. Love John Kincaid. One of the best, truly. Great to talk to him.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.